grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many years ago now, the very first time I attended a Lutheran church, I knew that my soul had found a home when the pastor offered the post-communion blessing or the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. It was an epiphany moment for me. In that moment, hearing those words still all these years later, it remains indescribable in so many ways. But what I can tell you is that what the Holy Spirit revealed to me in that moment not only changed my life, but changed the trajectory of my life. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. In that moment, I knew that the elements I had taken into my body were not simply symbolic. I hadn't simply eaten bread and drank wine with my physical body. I had partaken of Christ's very own body and blood. I had received into my body the very real presence of Christ, so powerful that it had the power to work in my soul. Even now, after all these years that I've spent studying theology and the sacraments, I'm still absolutely in awe at the profound mystery of all that the triune God does in and through Holy Communion. And so today, I am delighted that we are starting our summer sermon series on Holy Communion. It's called Food for the Journey, God's Feast of Memory and Hope. We're going to spend most of our Sundays this summer exploring all things communion. We're doing another sermon series like we did last year because many of you have shared with me that you connected with the sermon series we did on the Apostles' Creed. But more than that, so many of you have asked for an adult confirmation class because maybe you didn't grow up Lutheran and you didn't learn some of the things that we learn in confirmation. Or more likely you did, but it's been a while and maybe you have forgotten what you learned. As your pastor, I know that communion is meaningful to all of you. But the church is an interesting place because how we've talked about before that we have our own vocabulary words, words we don't really use anywhere else in our lives, and we have things that we do here that we don't really do anywhere else in our lives, like communion. And so maybe by no fault of your own, there's a lot you never learned about communion, or maybe there's a lot you don't understand. And maybe you just don't want to let on because you feel like you should know these things and you should understand them. And if you had to ask, then maybe you'd be embarrassed. Brothers and sisters, this is a safe place. A safe place to be curious. A safe place to ask questions. A safe place to learn and grow in knowledge and understanding. And my hope and prayer is that you lean into that truth this summer. So let's go back to the very, very beginning. What even is a sacrament? The word sacrament means hallowed, holy. It means sacred, secret, mysterious. The word sacrament comes from the Latin sacramentum, which is a translation of the Greek word for mystery. When we say mystery in the church, we aren't talking about the kind of mystery that Angela Lansbury would solve on Murder, She Wrote. right? When we say mystery in the church, it's not a problem or a puzzle to figure out or solve. When we talk about mystery in the church, especially as it's related to the sacraments, what we are saying is that this mystery is something we can't fully know on our own. The way that the Greek word for mystery was used in the first century and in the early church is not that it's something unknowable. It's something that can only be known through revelation because God reveals it to us. And so a mystery is something that only God knows, like a secret, until God reveals that secret. And in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God reveals to us the beautiful mystery of Holy Communion. Just like that the Spirit did for me that morning all those years ago, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. In the Lutheran Church, as in many Protestant churches, we have two sacraments. Who knows what they are? Baptism and communion. That's exactly right. Now, I'll ask rhetorically the next question, because I don't really want to put you on the spot. What makes something a sacrament? Well, one, it is something that is connected with God's promise or God's word. Two, it's something that Jesus commanded us to do. In the case of Holy Communion, take and eat the cup, drink of it, all of you. And number three, it uses a physical element, something we can see, something we can touch. In the case of communion, something we can taste, the bread and the wine. So in the coming weeks, we're going to dig deeper into this mystery that Luther called our greatest treasure. We're going to explore this outward and visible sign of an inward grace. And we're going to live more deeply into the truth that the sacraments, that Holy Communion isn't something that we do, but it's all about what God is doing. It's all about God's unending faithfulness to keep coming to us again and again in this meal. So some of the things that we're going to explore this summer about Holy Communion are the different names and meanings of Holy Communion. That's what we're going to look at next week. There's the Lord's Supper, there's the Last Supper, there's Holy Communion, there's the Eucharist, there's the Mass, there's all sorts of names. The Wedding Feast of the Lamb, the Paschal Feast. What do all of these names mean, and what do they teach us about Holy Communion? We're going to remember the long history of meals that God has provided for God's people throughout Scripture, like the manna in the desert, like all of the meals that Jesus shared with folks throughout his ministry. We're going to look at the Last Supper, and we're going to look at the meals that they shared together in the early church when they broke bread. We're going to look at what communion looked like in the early church, and how we might reclaim some of those practices today. You've heard me say before that the font leads to the table and the table leads to the font. We're going to look at how baptism and communion are connected and what that means for how we live out our discipleship in our everyday life. This is a fun one for me. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of the liturgy, especially the meal portion. We're going to look at what some of the words that we use, what they really are saying, what they mean. We're going to look at why is it in this order, and how does it all come together so that communion is the culmination of our worship. We're also going to think about how Holy Communion isn't just the center of our worship, but that God intends for it to be the center of our lives. And we're going to explore how all of this points us toward the great hope of the feast that God has prepared for the day when Jesus returns again in glory to fully and completely bring the reign of God. On that day, when Jesus comes again to restore all things, God will swallow up death forever, and all people, the entire communion of saints, will feast at God's great banquet table. I hope this has piqued your interest. I hope that it's stirred up some questions in you. I'd love for you to write down questions you have so that you can ask them of me and of each other. I'm hoping several times this summer for anyone who wants to meet briefly after worship to talk about these questions, to talk about things that you're wondering about, things that you're thinking about. I have many hopes and goals for all of us with this sermon series. But if I had to sum it up, if I really, really had to sum it up, it would be this. My hope and prayer is that you would develop such a robust understanding of what God is doing in Holy Communion, so that you would know, really know, with deep hope and confidence and joy, that Christ is truly, truly, and fully present with us in the bread and wine. I hope and pray that you would deeply know and understand that Christ is just as present with us now in the bread and wine as Christ was present in his flesh with the disciples. That's the truth about what we believe about Holy Communion. The presence of Christ in a human body is just the same presence that we experience, that we hold in our hands every Sunday when we receive the bread and the wine. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us, wasn't just God with us for 33 years, 2,000 years ago. Jesus is still God with us in the sacraments, because every Sunday, in baptism and in communion, the presence of Christ is with us. Brothers and sisters, Jesus showed God's love by eating with people throughout his entire ministry, including after his resurrection. And Jesus continues to show God's love by eating with us. God not only prepares a table for us, but Jesus sets the table. And in great love and mercy, he becomes the very food that we eat. In this sacred and holy and mysterious meal, Jesus is with us. Jesus feeds us. Jesus is loving us. And Jesus is forgiving us. God invites us this and every Lord's Day to feast on Christ, who again and again comes to us to give himself for us, to nourish us, to sustain us, and to empower us as food for the journey. Stay tuned. Thanks be to God. Amen.